Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
I'm going to give you some options for this. This is another one of those places in the book of Chronicles where there's a number problem. And I'm just going to tell you right off the bat that I don't know the answer for sure to this. I've got some things that I can tell you. Let me do some stuff first. First off, one of the cool things about it is that the problem is still there. It says 42 years in this passage, and actually back in a passage in 2 Kings chapter 8, it says he was 22. When he came to the throne. So if he's 22, that makes him 18 years younger than his father. If he's 42, it makes him 2 years older than his father. Okay, and so 22 is more likely than 42. And the point that I'm making here is I found this, and there's a good chance, actually somebody came up to me this weekend and said that they found this, and so there's a good chance that scribes found it too when they're copying down the Old Testament. And what they did was they left it. And so for thousands of years, that 42 has been left in the passage without anybody changing it. Okay? So that tells you the attitude that the scribes have towards the Word of God. Even if it's a problem, we're not going to change it. We're just going to leave it there. Okay? And so the transmission of the text for a long period of time has had this in it. You get that? So, this comes from the Masoretic text. 900 AD is when our first copies of the Masoretic text are written. We're sitting in 2018, and so you're talking about 1,100 years. For 1,100 years, they have refused to change it, okay? And then there's some examples of this that come from before that. And so for much longer than that, they've refused to change it. Okay, so that's the first issue. That lets you know that for a long time, people have respected the text and been unwilling to mess with the whole thing. Let me just do this with you, just from the standpoint of textual criticism. You understand that there are different copies of the Old Testament in Hebrew. Okay, so your Bibles are taken from what's called the Masoretic text that I just mentioned, and that's the Jewish text for the Hebrew Old Testament. But there are other copies of the Hebrew Old Testament. There's what's called the Syriac. It's a translation from Hebrew into Aramaic. And there is what's called the Septuagint, and that's a translation from the Hebrew into Greek. And we have copies of that, both of those, that are older than our Masoretic text. Masoretic text is still good because we've compared it with copies of Isaiah that come from before the time of Christ. But we have some translations that are older. And so the Arabic translation of the Old Testament has 22 in this passage. The Syriac translation has 22 in this passage. The Septuagint, in most places, in most copies of the Septuagint, has 20, and in one copy it has 22. And so those translations take and change it from 42 to 22, or they're using a different Hebrew text than what we have for our Bibles nowadays, okay? And so those are options there. Let me just kind of cement some thinking with you or bring up some other stuff. Jesus, when he's quoting from the Old Testament, is quoting sometimes from what we would call the Masoretic text. Sometimes he's quoting from the Septuagint. He's quoting from a text that reads like the Septuagint. And so he quoted from the Old Testament 64 times. And more than half of those times agree with both the Septuagint and the Hebrew text, the Masoretic text. In 12 of the instances that Jesus quotes from the Old Testament, it doesn't agree with either of them. Okay, so he's quoting from a different Hebrew text than what we have for our Bibles nowadays. So in 12, he's not quoting from either of them. In 7, he agrees with the translation of the Septuagint. And in 12, he agrees with the translation of the Masoretic text against the Septuagint. Okay? And so that's how the textual situation stands. And there's a good chance that there's some places in the Old Testament where the Septuagint, or specifically the Syriac, most likely, that's a pretty good translation, is something that may reflect what the Old Testament has to say better than the text that we have, okay? Sorry to make that all complex, but I'm letting you know exactly the situation there, okay? In any of these cases, one of these is right. It's going to be 22, or it's going to be 42 in this passage. And we have texts from different places that say one or the other. The one that I have sitting in front of me says 42. Okay. Now, having said all that, here's some possible reconciliations of this whole thing. One reconciliation is you have a situation because of Jehoshaphat where the northern kingdom and the kingdom of Judah are pretty messed up. They've intermarried with each other. And so you have a joining of Jehoshaphat with Ahab's house, and you have a specific joining. And that passage that I was referencing in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, it talks about the fact that Jehoshaphat aligned himself with Ahab's house by marriage. And I kind of think, and that's what I've been talking to you guys about, that the marriage had to do with his son. We know that his son, we know for sure that his son married a daughter of Ahab. And so that may be the marriage that's being spoken about. And so I kind of think that, but I don't know that for sure because the kings of Judah had multiple wives. And I don't know that Jehoshaphat did. I don't know, you know, I don't know passages that specifically say that he married one of the daughters of Ahab or one of the daughters of Omri, but that's a possibility. In any case, it's all messed up. And actually, at one point, Jehoshaphat is not only called the king of Judah, he's called the king of Israel. And they have kings up in Israel. And so that means that there's something weird going on as far as the kingdom goes, because he's ruling over parts of the kingdom of Israel, or in one of the, Israel was in a big mess at this time. And it may have been the case that while some of the kings of Israel were in between, because they were fighting over who the next regent was going to be, Jehoshaphat is ruling in that place. What I'm telling you is that there's all kinds of turmoil that's going on in the northern kingdom of Israel during the reigns of these guys, okay? And so you may have some situations that come from that. One of the situations that comes from that that's really interesting is Omri was the father of Ahab, and then Ahab had sons. One was Ahaziah, another one was Jehoram. And these, you know, when they go down in the lineage, specifically, Ahaziah in this passage is a son of Athaliah, who is a daughter of Ahab. And when he comes into power in Judah, it's been 42 years since the reign of Omri started. And the reason that that's a big deal is because the household of Ahab was going to be destroyed by God. It was one of the things that Elijah said. So basically, Elijah said, you're just about toast. He told Ahab that his blood was going to be licked up by dogs. He told Jezebel that she was going to get hers too, that she was going to be eaten by dogs. And both of those things specifically happened. Not with Jezebel yet, it's about to take place. But both of those things specifically happened. And so God has a vendetta against Ahab's house. And Ahaziah is one of the guys that's involved with Ahab's house. He comes literally from the house of Ahab through Athaliah. And so you have a situation there. So one possible reconciliation of that is that it's not talking about Ahaziah's age. It literally says in Hebrew, he was a son of 42 years when he became king. And that may be talking about the reign of his kingly line, because he's going to be the end of it. He's going to be the end of the line of Ahab. And so it may be talking about that. Okay, so one passage, when it says 22, that's actually his age when he comes into power in Judah. And in this passage, it would be talking about the kingly line. Okay, here's another one. This one's a little bit more convoluted, but it has some interesting things going on with Scripture. And I'll just tell you, I told this to Mitch. He asked me the question before the study, and I had them all confused before I got to the end of it. And so I'm going to start with the end and then tell you why I think this may be a possibility. There's a good chance that Ahaziah is a stepson, that he's not actually the son of Jehoram in the sense of flesh and blood, that he's a son of Athaliah from a previous union, and the previous union may have actually been with Jehoshaphat. So there may have been a situation with Jehoshaphat where the alliance that he was making with Ahab wasn't just something where he was being aligned by marriage, but that he had a relationship with Ahab's daughter Athaliah, and then he never married her and had a son by her. And then later on, Athaliah ends up in a political marriage with Ahaziah. Ahaziah had multiple sons, and he probably had multiple wives. And so she was just a wife that was there to align him with the northern kingdom of Israel. If that's the case, then you can have a situation where she has a son. She's an older woman at the time that she gets married. In that instance, Jehoram. I kept saying Ahaziah. Jehoram is his dad. Jehoram may have married her when she was in her mid-40s while he was in his mid-20s. And that's not an unheard of thing in ancient times. It's not an unheard of thing in modern times. And so you have a situation with that, like that. And so if that's the case, then you have a situation where he's not actually his son, and he's a stepson, and he's the only one left in the line. And if he's a son of Jehoshaphat by illegitimate relationship with Athaliah, then he's still from the line of David. And he still has some rights to the throne of David. Okay, so having said all that, let me do this with you. 2 Kings 8 says he's 22, but that makes Jehoram's son, so whether he's 42 or 22, we still have a problem. That makes Jehoram's youngest son a child who was born when Jehoram was 18. So his youngest son was born at 18. So that means all the older sons of Jehoram were born before he was 18, right? And so how many older sons did he have before he was 18? How many? He had multiple wives. We know that. When you look down in verse 17 of chapter 21, it says that his sons and his wives were taken captive, and the only son left was Jehoahaz, which is Ahaziah that we're talking about. And so he's got all these brothers who are older than him. And Ahaziah would have been born when Jehoram was 18 years old. Here's another one. 2 Kings 8:27 says that Ahaziah is called the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. And I know I'm getting technical here, but basically what you have with Ahaziah is he's not a son-in-law to Ahab. He's Ahab's grandkid. And so son-in-law to Ahab can't work, because Ahab has a daughter, Athaliah, and Athaliah has a son, Ahaziah, and Ahaziah is not an in-law to Ahab. He's a son of Ahab. He's a grandchild of Ahab. And so why is he being called the son-in-law or a son-in-law of Ahab? And most likely, it's not talking about that. What it's talking about is he's a son-in-law from Ahab. The passage itself, the wording there, can be talking about somebody who's from something as much as he is of something. You follow that? Okay, so he's called a son-in-law. Here's an issue with that. Son-in-law is a term that means related by marriage. And so if that's the case, if he's a stepson, then he's related by marriage to the king of Judah, not to Ahab. He's never related by marriage to Ahab. He's related by marriage to the king of Judah. Okay. The third thing is most likely again, there's a good chance again that he was a son of Athaliah from a previous relationship. And in that case, he's also a prince from the northern kingdom. And you have that. If that's the case, then in chapter 8 of 2 Kings, he would have been beginning a co-regency in Israel, not in Judah. And he could have started this co-regency when he was 22. While he's still down in Judah. And then when he's 42, after his stepdad dies, then he steps in and he takes the kingdom of Judah at that point. And that's where all that co-regency stuff comes in. And so again, at that point, he's not actually a son. He's a stepson. In chapter 21, verse 17, it says that the invaders come in, the Arabians and the Philistines come in with the Ethiopians, and they take all the sons of King Jehoram and his wives, and they left no one to him except Jehoahaz. Why are they leaving Jehoahaz? Why didn't they take him? And if he's a stepson, then that may be the reason that they left him. They don't consider him to be somebody that's a threat to them, because he's not in the line for the kingdom of Judah. In other words, they took away all the legitimate sons and just left this one kid. Actually, he wouldn't be a kid. He'd be a man at that point. Well, why is he called the youngest? The word youngest in Hebrew means lesser. Doesn't necessarily mean younger. It means lesser. And so if he's a stepson and he's not in the line of the kings, then he would be a lesser son. Get that? And then that's also the reason that he's killed. In fact, let's go through and read this. It says in verse 3, he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. Therefore, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. He also followed their advice and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Joram. Then he returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which he'd received at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria, and Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was sick. His going to Joram was God's occasion for Ahaziah's downfall, for when he arrived, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it happened when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab and found the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's brothers who served Ahaziah, that he killed them. Then he searched for Ahaziah and they caught him. He was hiding in Samaria and they brought him to Jehu. When they had killed him, they buried him because they said, he's the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no one to assume power over the kingdom. And so there's a reason that Jehu goes after this guy, and it may be because he specifically has a claim to Ahab's throne. And Jehu is a guy who's trying to take over. And so he ends up killing Ahaziah also. The other thing that happens is after Ahaziah dies, it says in verse 10, now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, stole Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she did not kill him. And he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. And so what happens after he ends up being killed by Jehu is his mom comes in and kills all his sons. And that's how it's phrased, all his sons, except for Joash. And so she's literally going in, killing off her grandchildren because she wants to take over the kingdom. And when it says all his sons, that it doesn't say both his sons besides Joash. It says all of them, right? And so that lets you know that it's more than two others. And so if Ahaziah is 22, that's pretty quick to have a whole tassel of kids. You know what I mean? And so it looks like 22, even 22 is an age that's pretty old for him at the time that this is going on. So there's probably some other things going on there. So anyway, there you have it. Okay? So you have a bunch of options there. So one is that he's a stepson of Jehoram. That's one option. Another option is that we're not talking actually about his age at the beginning of his reign in this passage. We're talking about the end of his line when his reign started, 42 years. Or the other thing that we're looking at is that there may have been a problem with the transmission of the text. One of the problems with having an issue with the transmission of the text is that the text is written out. And so what it actually says in those two passages, when you're in 2 Kings 8 and you're in this passage here in chapter 22, it says he's a son of 2 and 20 years, all written out, like T-W-O and 20. So it's not just a number where, you know, you can transmogrify from a 4 to a 2. And so you change a 4 to a 2 and you get 22 instead of 42, or vice versa. It's literally the words are written out. And so it looks like there's probably something other going on than some kind of copyist error, because that would be something that would be really obvious, really hard to do, is the point that I'm making there. And so possible copyist error, the text that we have for that may not be the best text, and we have some representations in some others that may be better. Or we're talking about the reign of his family, or we're talking about the fact that he's a stepson and that there's a co-regency in Israel. And so those are some options for you. Is that clear as mud? Sorry. This whole period of time is all tweaked. It's all messed up because everything's tied in with the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. There's all these weird things that are going on with co-regencies and that kind of thing. Actually, when you get to the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 1, there's a genealogy. And in that genealogy, chapters 22 through 25. So you're talking about Ahaziah all the way up to Uzziah. Chapter 25 begins with Uzziah. And in Matthew's genealogy, it skips from Jehoram to Uzziah and leaves all this out. And there's a reason for that. And it looks like it may have to do with some of this junk that's going on. You have the same thing going on later on when you talk about going from Josiah to Jeconiah. There's two kings that come along the line, come in between Josiah and Jeconiah, and those two kings are not mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew. And it looks like it has some things to do with some stuff that's happening, and we'll see that when we get there. In any case, those are kind of interesting things. In any case, what you have is big fat mess. This is a household that is dysfunctional on all kinds of levels. And again, it has to do with compromise. So not only did Jehoshaphat get his own sons killed, he got his grandsons killed. It's the judgment of God with the Philistines and the Arabians. And Athaliah, the woman that he married off to his son, ends up killing her grandchildren. So Jehoshaphat's sons, his grandsons, and his great-grandsons all get butchered, all of them, except for one in each genealogy, because of Jehoshaphat's compromise. Don't compromise. Walk with God. Do the things that God calls you to. Okay, and so Athaliah comes along on the scene, and she kills off her grandchildren, but you have Jehoshabeath. In verse 11, it says the daughter of the king. It's talking about she's the daughter of Jehoram. She's actually a sister to Azariah in this passage, Azariah and his brothers. And so she's the daughter of the king, takes Joash, the son of Ahaziah, when he's a baby, steals him away from among the king's sons who are being murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was a sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she did not kill him. And he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.